السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا، الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق. صدق الله العظيم. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. We bear witness that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the last and final messenger. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite grace, through His love for you and I, He allows us opportunities and repeated opportunities so that we can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout our days, throughout our months and years, we're blessed with seasons of worship. And this month of Ramadan happens to be one of those seasons. And it happens to be not any season, but the best of days, the best of nights when it comes to worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it comes to benefiting from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to offer us. As we sit today, we see that the month of Ramadan is passing by. And the month of Ramadan is passing by quite quickly and quite swiftly. Today will be the 15th Taraweeh. That's half of the month of Ramadan. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to worship Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and I with the tawfiq to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever worship we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. As we enter the month of Ramadan, we engage in certain ibadat, we engage in certain actions of worship. And we find that these actions of worship, which you and I generally consider to be, or what we say we engage in for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. The fasting, the sawm that we're going through, it's an act of worship. We say we do it for the sake of Allah. The salatul taraweeh, we do it for the sake of Allah. The Qur'an recitation, we do it for the sake of Allah. Coming to the masjid, we do it all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In reality, we remind ourselves that we're doing it for our sake. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for His creation is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligates certain acts of ibadah upon us. Knowing that if these acts of ibadah weren't obligated upon us, then we wouldn't engage in these acts of ibadah in the manner that we do so. And the return being, the jaza being, the reward being, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is then left with an opportunity to forgive us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to forgive us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to go to Jannatul Firdaus. And our normal practice, it's not enough. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obligates worship on us. So that through this worship, we're able to come close to Allah. Through this worship, we're able to have our sins forgiven. Through this worship, we're able to accumulate goodness so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in turn can forgive us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reward us. We ask ourselves, if it wasn't for the month of Ramadan, how many of us would fast so continuously and so regularly? Outside the month of Ramadan, maybe during the winter months, you know, few people, they fast on Mondays and Thursdays, they fast during the three white days of the month. But a good portion of the ummah wouldn't fast. We only fast when it comes to the month of Ramadan. If it wasn't for the month of Ramadan, how many of us would spend time standing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah? Our normal prayers, they're just a few minutes. But come the month of Ramadan, we engage in extra prayer, whether it be Salatul Taraweeh or whether it be the Tahajjud prayer, the night prayer. But if it wasn't for Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, how many of us stand in prayer for such a long period? In the month of Ramadan, mashallah, we connect ourselves to the Holy Quran. شَهْرُ رَمَضَانَ الَّذِي أُنزِلَ فِيهِ الْقُرْآنِ. We recite the Quran, we understand the Quran, we contemplate over verses of the Quran. If it wasn't for the month of Ramadan, what is our connection with the Holy Quran? What is our connection over the 11 months? For many of us, the reality is we don't connect to the Quran. In fact, it would be correct to say we neglect the Quran. We don't recite the Quran. We don't go through the meanings of the Quran. We don't connect ourselves to the best of books, to the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His rahmah, through His love for you and I, He blesses us with opportunities. Ramadan being one of them, so that we can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in turn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an opportunity to forgive us. We think we're doing it for the sake of Allah. In reality, we are the ones that are benefiting. We're doing it for ourselves. We're not doing it for the sake of Allah. Yeah, the intention, of course, is that we do things with ikhlas, khalisan lillahi ta'ala. But ultimately, in terms of benefiting, it's you and I that's benefiting. We're benefiting from our staying hungry. We're benefiting from our standing in salah. We're benefiting from connecting ourselves to the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase His rahmah upon us. As we go through the month of Ramadan, as we approach the month of Ramadan, as we go through the days of Ramadan, generally we have a mindset. And the mindset that we enter the month of Ramadan with, and we continue throughout the month of Ramadan, especially when it comes to acts of worship and ibadah, is we have this mindset that I'm going to do more. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. A person makes the intention that this Ramadan I'm going to recite the Qur'an. Or this Ramadan I'm going to try to do one khatam of the Qur'an. Or this Ramadan I'm going to try to pray a page a day or two pages. Whatever a person's capacity is, a person pushes themselves a little bit and a person sets them some goals. A person makes the intention that I'm going to come to the masjid. A person at home makes the intention that I'm going to ensure that my prayers are offered on time. Even at work, maybe I don't normally pray, but outside, inside Ramadan, I'm going to ensure that I pray. I'm going to ensure that I pray. I'm going to recite the Quran. I'm going to do good. I'm going to try to give some charity on a daily basis. I'm going to, alhamdulillah, we motivate ourselves. We encourage ourselves to do good. We push ourselves. We push our limits. And then come the last asharah of this month of Ramadan, the Prophet Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would exert himself in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would push his limits. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would turn away from everything else. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would seclude himself, what's known as i'tikaf. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the sunnah i'tikaf during the last ashra of the month of Ramadan, completely cutting oneself off from everything, just focusing on worship in the best of places of worship, which is the house of Allah. Yeah, for the brothers, for the sisters in their own homes, in whatever place they have where they normally perform their ibadah. Why? Because we're pushing ourselves to do more. However, for many of us, there's a factor that's in place that we tend to forget, and that is sins. That is sins. We find that at times, a good portion of our life is consumed by sin, consumed by disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person were to have a vessel, if a person were to have a container, if a person were to have a bucket, an example that we've been hearing since we've been kids. You know, and if you have that bottle, you have that container, you have that vessel, and you're filling it with something, but if there's a hole, if there's a leak, it won't be of any benefit. We can have a bucket, and we can fill it with water, and we can fill it with as much water as we want. But if there's a hole in it, ultimately, that bucket will just empty out. That container will just empty out. The water that you're filling the bucket with, that you want to use, you want it to be of benefit to you, will be of no benefit to you. Why? Because nothing remains. Nothing remains. Maybe if it's a small hole or a small, you know, leakage, it might take a little bit longer, but ultimately it's still going to empty out. Most of us, we have cars and we drive. Yeah, every so often you get a puncture. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you. But subhanAllah, you get different types of punctures. Some of them, boom, nail goes in immediately. Can't do anything. You can't even drive further, otherwise the tire will get damaged. And then sometimes you get one of those slow leaks and punctures where you think to yourself, it looks like I've got a puncture. What do? You fill it up with air. And then you're like, it lasts me a week or two. Week or two later, we're humans. We procrastinate, isn't it? So rather than going getting the puncture fixed, we fill it up with more air again. We're not finding the solution. The solution is to fix that puncture. But what do? We just fill it up with air so that it lasts us another week, another 2 weeks. But ultimately, that puncture is going to allow the air to come out. In a similar manner, we find that we engage in goodness, but at the same time, our life is consumed by sins. Our life is consumed by bad habits, by disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we tend to forget that those sins, those acts of disobedience, wo gunah jo hain, they have an effect in our worship. They have an effect in our lives. As human beings, we understand the concept of cause and effect. Everything has an effect. Everything has an effect. It's cold. You turn the heater on. Turning the heater on, the thermostat, the button, whatever it is on your phone, that's not what you want. That's just something that you're doing so that the place warms up. It's hot. You press something, you turn the button on, you do something. Why? So that the aircon turns on. Why? Because you want the place to cool down. Everything, there's a cause, there's an effect. Nothing is free from effect in this dunya. There's an effect of everything. The manner that we talk to someone, that has an effect. What we eat, it has an effect on our bodies. A person feels cold, you put a jacket on, you put another layer on. Why? Because you know it's going to have an effect. It's going to warm you up. Why is it that we forget that sins have an effect? Sins have an effect. There's a saying in Urdu, gunahon se insan nadamat paata hai aur neki se salamat. Gunahon se jo hai insan nadamat paata hai. What happens when a person engages in sin? We don't realize it, but the reality is that sins have an effect. They bring regret to a person's life. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that whoever turns away from my remembrance, whoever turns away from a life of obedience, what has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala written for that person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written ma'ishatan danka, a restricted life for that individual. Not a life of happiness, not a life of goodness, but a life of regret, a life of despair. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for that person. How can you and I go about disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, engaging in gunah, engaging in wrong, and then think to ourselves, but this isn't going to have an effect. It will have an effect. And at the same time, neki se salamat paata hai. What happens when a person engages in good? When a person engages in good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings goodness to that person's life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings peace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings salamity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings happiness. Not just in one's life, but in one's home, in one's family, in one's relationships with their family members, in one's relationship with their friends. All of that is the natija, the khulasa of what? It's the natija, it's the effect of the goodness that we engage in. When a person comes to the masjid, a person worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person prays, a person raises their hands before Allah, a person sheds a tear before Allah, yeah, and then that person leaves and departs from the masjid, doesn't a person internally feel good? You do feel good. You feel that you've done something. You feel that there's been some atonement. You've asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. You worshipped Allah. It has a positive effect on a person's life. Understand that when we engage in wrong, when we engage in sin, it has an effect. It has an effect. And normally when we think of the effect, we think of gunah, we think gunahu ki saza hoti hai, we think of the life of the hereafter. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the life of the hereafter has written punishment for a person who has engaged in sin. And then we go through the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the verses of the Quran, that unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven an individual, unless a person has done tawbah, unless a person has repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then on the day of judgment, a person will have to compensate for their sins. There will be consequences of those wrongs. And then the hasanat, the goodness that a person has done, yeah, it's very likely or it's possible that those hasanat are taken away. And in turn, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places sayyi'at. The sayyi'at overcome the goodness. And at times, the goodness will overcome the sayyi'at. Yeah, and if we've wronged people, huququl ibad, if we've not been mindful of the rights of other people in society around us, then they will come. And subhanAllah, what will they do? They will take our good deeds. And if our good deeds finish, they will dump their bad deeds onto us. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has reminded us. But subhanAllah, on that note, when it comes to fasting, I'm sure you've heard a very beautiful hadith. It's actually a hadith Qudsi. In kulli amal abda ibn lahu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that every act that a person does, likulli amal ibn adam lah, every act of goodness that a person does, that the son of Adam does, it's for that individual. Meaning we get rewarded. We get rewarded. And generally we find in the ahadith that the reward of multiple things are mentioned. A person gives charity, you get rewarded 10 times, 70 times. Wallahu yudha'ifu liman yasha. A person recites Quran, for every harf, for every letter you recite, 10 good deeds, and so forth. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الصَّوْمُ أَصَّوْمُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ. Except fasting, fasting is for my sake and I will reward the fasting person. I will reward the fasting person. We've heard this hadith. Yeah, but what I want you to listen to is what Sufyan ibn Uyaynah radiallahu anhu has mentioned. He says that what is the meaning of this? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I will reward the fasting person, he says, on the day of judgment, we know that we will have to account before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will have to account before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at times, the good deeds will erase the bad deeds. And other times, the bad deeds will overcome the good deeds. And then subhanallah, he says, there will be a point where there will be no good deeds left for a person. There will be no good deeds left for a person. He says, at that time, the reward of a person's fasting will kick in. At that time, the reward of the fast will come in, and that person will see that reward before them, and that reward will, inshallah, take a person to Jannah. Sa'id ibn Jubair, radiallahu anhu, he explains, he says, that this, you know, making up for each other, the good deeds erasing the bad deeds, and the bad deeds erasing the good deeds, he says that will happen with all of a person's deeds, except the reward of the fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not use that. Meaning a person's sins will never be able to erase the reward of the fast that a person engages in. So subhanallah, the reward of fasting will always remain intact and it will take a person to Jannah. When we go through these fasts, understand that the reward is great from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For many of us, we're just doing it. We consider it to be an act of worship. We understand that it's something great, but the magnitude of the reward hasn't really hit us. We've not understand how great this fasting is. Subhanallah, when we think about sin and we think about the effect of the sin, we normally think, Akhirat mein Allah ki yahan pakar hogi, Allah ki yahan azab hoga akhirat ke andar, that the effect will be in the akhirah. Yeah, Allah will subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold a person accountable. And we know the ahadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that there will be some individuals who may even have to spend time in punishment to make up for their wrongs, for the believers before they enter Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all entry into Jannah at first instance, bidun al-hisab, and in the highest levels of Jannah. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. But understand, the effect of sin will not just be in the akhirah, but it will also be in this dunya as well. The effect of sin will be in this dunya as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us. The effect of sin will be in this dunya as well. Let me give you a simple example before we continue. Something I was speaking about yesterday. Yeah. Let's take a very common sin, something that everyone can understand. Yeah, a sin of the eye. Aankhon ki gunah. A person looks at something that they shouldn't be looking at. A person sees a non-mahram of the opposite gender. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminds us that first glance, the accidental, unintentional first glance is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person didn't mean to see something, they just went outside, they saw something, they immediately turned away, they looked down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men to lower their gazes. And this is such an important aspect of who we are as Muslims. Immediately after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds the believing women, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنْ. Yeah. Normally, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just for one gender, normally addressing the men, and everyone is included, men, women, etc. Yeah, but here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses two verses. First verse specifically addressing the men. And then immediately after that, second verse, exact same, specifically addressing the women folk. To remind us of how major of a sin this is. Yeah, but that first unintentional, accidental look is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even then, the ulama have written that look is a poison arrow of shaitan. Is a poison arrow of shaitan. And if poison were to enter a person's body, then you and I know the effect that it has. In fact, depending on the type of poison, it could just be a matter of minutes and hours that person has left unless they're able to take some medication. In a similar manner, a person might think, well, you know, what difference does it make? No, but what is the effect? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned that the effect of that haram gaze is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes the halawa, the sweetness of worship from a person's life. How many of us, we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hamara dil nahi lagta hai. Ibadat ke andar koi dil nahi lagta hai. Ibadat ke andar maza nahi aati hai. Ibadat ke andar we don't experience that sweetness. Yeah, we sit there thinking, well, what is this sweetness that the ulama talk about? What is this sweetness that's written in the hadith? Yeah, a special sense of enjoyment. You listened, you talk to people. What is it that you enjoy? So someone might say, well, I enjoy time when I'm on holiday. Yeah, I feel something, some neurons and stuff happen inside. Yeah, or I enjoy when I'm having a particular meal or a type of food, you know, I enjoy it. It's nice. Yes. Someone might say, I enjoy shopping. Someone might say, I enjoy sitting with, you know, my husband, my wife, my children, yeah, my parents. There's something that happens which you can't express, you can't pinpoint, you can't write it down, but it's a level of enjoyment. That is what the people that are close to Allah, Allah wale jo hain, that is what they experience when they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not at that level. I can speak for myself, but you know, for a good portion of people as well. But the ulama remind us that keep on worshipping Allah. Keep on worshipping Allah. Inshallah, there will be a day when we will enjoy that in our salah. When a person says Allahu Akbar, they'll feel happy, they'll feel good. Yeah, they'll want to continue saying and praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as a person wants to continue eating a certain type of a food or going on holiday to a certain place, etc. Yeah, that is the halawa of iman, the sweetness of iman. That sweetness of iman is taken away when a person engages in sin. That one poison look, that poison arrow of shaitan, it's enough for a person to lose that sweetness of iman. Because what does it do? It then has a ripple effect on a person. A person's mind starts thinking about certain things. A person starts fantasizing about certain things. A person then starts wasting their time. The ulama write that it makes a person's heart weak. Heart weak to what? It makes a person's heart weak to the attacks of shaitan. And then we succumb, we fall. All starting with what? One look. Look. So subhanAllah, the effects of sin cannot be underestimated. A person earns rizq, a person makes money. And if there is haram in that money, the haram of that wealth will have an impact on a person's life. Not only an impact on a person's life, it'll have an impact on a person's family and children and everything. Why? Because it's through that wealth that you're feeding your family, through that wealth that you're feeding your children. And then we turn around and say that our children don't listen to us, our children are disobedient, they've gone offline, off track. Could it be because of the rizq that we're bringing into our homes, into our lives? A person, the very famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there was this traveler. Normally a person in a state of traveling is going through hardship. Anyone going through hardship, their du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this traveler, the state, the appearance of that individual is such that Allah would have, you know, mercy on that person. But that person is raising their hands, making du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the du'a is not being accepted. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامُ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامُ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامُ أَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ. That person's food is haram, that person's drink is haram, that person's clothing is haram, that person is being nourished through haram. How will that person's dua be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Do we not understand that sins have an effect? Yeah, sins have an effect in this life, sins have an effect in the next life as well. Now, when it comes to the month of Ramadan, whilst many of us are making, alhamdulillah, making intentions that I'm going to do this Ramadan, I'm going to do this. Yeah, and subhanAllah, as we approach the halfway point of the month of Ramadan, we should actually evaluate ourselves, do a bit of muhasabah. That look, this is what I set out to do. These are the challenges that I put for myself. Am I halfway down the line? Like if a person wanted to read a Qur'an khatam in the month of Ramadan, we should be somewhere close to the halfway mark right now. Whatever it is that a person set themselves, whatever goals a person set themselves, we should be somewhat close to them, at least close to the halfway mark, because half of Ramadan is coming to an end. But subhanAllah, when it comes to the month of Ramadan, just as we set ourselves goals in wanting to do more, increasing our a'mal, on the other hand, we also need to set ourselves goals when it comes to stopping our bad habits, distancing ourselves from sins. Remember the month of Ramadan, I'm sure it's a hadith that we've heard many a time, وَسُفِّدَتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ, that the shayateen are locked up in the month of Ramadan. What does it mean? It means that any wrong that we're inclined towards, any sin that we may be inclined towards or possibly even take part in, There is no blaming shaitan. That's who we've become. That's who we've become. If in the month of Ramadan, a person still wants to listen to music, a person still wants to engage in some wrong, you're flicking on your phone and some videos come up and you still want to look at those videos even though the content may not be appropriate. There is no blaming shaitan in the month of Ramadan. We should have the power in the month of Ramadan that when something, we stop, we move away, we don't listen. Something pops up on our phone, we press the mute button. We don't watch that video. We don't listen to what it is. Why? Because all of that is bringing sin into our lives. So on one side, we're doing so much goodness. We're doing so much goodness. From major goodness to small. Even waking up for suhoor. تَسَحَّرُوا فَإِنَّ فِي السُّحُورِ بَرَكَةً. The Prophet ﷺ reminds us, we're waking up in the morning, we're eating food. Why? So that we have some energy throughout the day. Even that is reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, something which we wouldn't even think about. There is so much reward being offered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But going back to what we were mentioning, is it that the sins which are continuing in the month of Ramadan, they are washing away the goodness that we're taking part in? Because when it comes to abstaining from sin, leaving out bad habits, I can tell you that it's easier for a person to make the intention that I'm going to pray Taraweeh. And not only am I going to pray Taraweeh, I'm going to pray the full 20 rakat. Yeah, make Imam Sahib happy. And not only am I going to pray the full 20 rakat today, I'm going to pray the full 20 rakat every day. Yeah. Let me tell you, that's easy. To let go of one sin is difficult. To let go of one habit is difficult. If a person has a habit of using foul language when they speak, it'll be difficult to let go of that bad habit. Why? Because that habit is just, that sin has become a habit. And that's the reality of sins. When we engage in sins over and over again, not only do we become desensitized to them, but then they become habits. It'll be difficult to stop using that foul language. It's easy to pray 20 rakat salatul taraweeh every day. It's easy to dig deep in your pockets and donate generously to charity. But it'll be difficult to let go of that one sin, that one bad habit, that one act of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But let us remember that if we're engaging in good, but we're not stopping the sins from our lives, we're not stopping those bad habits, then yes, that good will have an effect, but it won't have a lasting effect. Because the bad will overcome. You place goodness. You buy some fruit. You place that good fruit and you place one rotten fruit in the middle. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? That rotten fruit will have an impact on the good fruit. The good fruit won't have an impact on the rotten fruit. Everything else will rot away as well. That's the effect of sin. That's the effect of sin. So what I want everyone to remember, inshallah, we'll continue with this topic today. We'll continue with the topic tomorrow, going through some of the excuses when it comes to sins. And then some of the things which are worse than the actual sin itself. And then if we get time, we'll go through the effect of sin as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَهُ. Abstain from the internal sin and the external sin as well. We'll go through the effect that sins have on our lives. But when it comes to our intention of abstaining from wrong in the month of Ramadan, we should remind ourselves that it's not just about putting a pause on bad habits. It's about actually trying to delete them from our lives. For many of us, the intention is that, few more days, few more weeks, day of Eid, then I'll be able to watch that movie. Then I'll be able to log on to my Netflix again. Then I'll be able to log on to Amazon again. Then I'll be able to do this again and watch this again and go to this place again and listen to that again and engage in this again. We're just putting a pause on the wrongs. We're not making the intention that we want to stop doing them completely. When it comes to our tawbah, when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, when a person regrets their wrongs, one of the requirements for a person's tawbah to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that at that moment in time, a person makes the intention, I'm not going to do it again. And then if a person slips, if a person engages in it again, yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful. And inshallah, a person then makes the intention again that I'm not going to do it again and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. And if that continues for an entire lifetime, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue forgiving a person. But the requirement is that when we ask Allah for forgiveness, the intention is that I'm not going to do it again. And not that I'm not going to do it again for another day, for another week, for another month. Just period, I'm not going to do it again. Oh Allah, I won't go close to that sin again. Oh Allah, please forgive me. And inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His rahmah will forgive us, more so in this month of Ramadan, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives so many people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people who are forgiven in this month of Ramadan. So remember, what we need to do is we need to pinpoint on a practical note some wrongs. Think, what is it that I do? What are my bad habits? And how can I put a stop on those bad habits, not just a pause for the month of Ramadan, so that my goodness is not consumed by my ill habits, by my sins, by my gunah, and the goodness remains intact before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardon us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of the utaqa of the month of Ramadan, those that are forgiven in this month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and I the tawfiq and the ability to worship Him. And whatever worship we do, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum.